Let's read together Deuteronomy chapter 9. In this chapter, Israel is reminded that God is not bringing them into the land because of their righteousness or merit. No, it was because of God's promise to the patriarchs, as well as God's judgment on the wicked Canaanites. Moses' prayer of intercession for the people was a factor as well. Let's begin by reading the first 17 verses of the chapter. Hear, O Israel, you are to cross over the Jordan today and go in to dispossess nations greater and mightier than yourself, cities great and fortified up to heaven, a people great and tall, the descendants of the Anakim, whom you know and of whom you heard it said, who can stand before the descendants of Anak? Therefore understand today that the Lord your God is he who goes over before you as a consuming fire. He will destroy them and bring them down before you. So you shall drive them out and destroy them quickly, as the Lord has said to you. Do not think in your heart after the Lord your God has cast them out before you, saying, because of my righteousness the Lord has brought me in to possess this land. But it is because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord is driving them out from before you. It is not because of your righteousness or the uprightness of your heart that you go in to possess their land, but because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord your God drives them out from before you, and that he may fulfill the word which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Remember, do not forget how you provoked the Lord your God to wrath in the wilderness. From the day that you departed from the land of Egypt until you came to this place, you have been rebellious against the Lord. Also in Horeb, you provoked the Lord to wrath, so that the Lord was angry enough with you to have destroyed you. When I went up into the mountain to receive the tablets of stone, the tablets of the covenant which the Lord made with you, then I stayed on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. I neither ate bread nor drank water. Then the Lord delivered to me 2 tablets of stone written with the finger of God, and on them were all the words which the Lord had spoken to you on the mountain from the midst of the fire in the day of the assembly. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days and 40 nights that the Lord gave me the 2 tablets of stone, the tablets of the covenant. Then the Lord said to me, arise, go down quickly from here, for your people whom you brought out of Egypt have acted corruptly. They have quickly turned aside from the way which I commanded them. They have made themselves a molded image. Furthermore, the Lord spoke to me, saying, I have seen this people, and indeed they are a stubborn and rebellious people. Let me alone, that I may destroy them and blot out their name from under heaven, and I will make of you a nation mightier and greater than they. And I looked, and behold, you had sinned against the Lord your God, had made for yourselves a molded calf. You had turned aside quickly from the way which the Lord had commanded you. Then I took the 2 tablets and threw them out of my 2 hands and broke them before your eyes. Let's begin our study of this chapter, Deuteronomy chapter 9, with some background notes. Deuteronomy chapter 9 is a continuation of the second major address that Moses gave to the children of Israel as they were camped on the plains of Moab, ready to cross over the Jordan River into the Promised Land. Do you know what hyperbole is? Hyperbole is an acceptable figure of speech where you purposely exaggerate in order to get your point across. Verse 1 here in Deuteronomy chapter 9 says that the cities of Canaan were great cities fortified up to heaven. That's hyperbole, meaning that the walls of Jericho, for example, were big and strong and high, but not literally up to heaven. The sons of Anak, mentioned in verse 2, were a tribe of Canaanites of large stature. In verse 10, we have another figure of speech called anthropomorphism. God as spirit does not have fingers. Written by the finger of God is an anthropomorphic expression, meaning the work of God apart from any human agency. Now, in reference to the whole Mosaic law of the Old Testament, Moses wrote these laws as the Lord revealed them to him. But the giving of the Ten Commandments was unique. In a miraculous way, God directly inscribed these commandments on the 2 tablets of stone. Now, one more background note before we move to our doctrine or teaching points for Deuteronomy chapter 9. In verse 14, God said to Moses, let me alone that I may destroy them and blot out their name from under heaven. In the expression, blot out their name from under heaven, there is no idea here or in any other part of the Bible of annihilation. The Bible does not teach cessation of existence, but the eternal existence of both the saved and the lost. Here in Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 14, the Lord is referring to the termination of his relationship with his people by the expression, blot out their name from under heaven. So much for background. Let's move now to our doctrinal teaching points for Deuteronomy chapter 9. Doctrinal point number one. The Lord brought Israel into the land because of the wickedness of the Canaanites. The Lord brought Israel into the land because of the wickedness of the Canaanites. We see in verse 3 that God promised to bring the children of Israel into the land and destroy the enemy. But he wanted them to know that this was certainly not a reward for their good behavior. Rather, it was because of the wickedness of the pagan Canaanites. Back in Genesis chapter 15, God said to Abraham that his descendants would be in Egypt for 400 years because the iniquity of the Amorites was not yet complete. Genesis chapter 15, verse 16. The Amorites were Canaanites, and now it was time for the axe to fall as Israel conquered the land. So Israel was not to get the idea that God was rewarding them with the land for their righteous living. Far be the thought. In fact, they were a stubborn and rebellious people. Verse 6. Their 40 years in the wilderness was filled with rebellion. Verse 7. Even at Horeb, that is Mount Sinai, where God graciously gave his law to the people, while Moses was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, the people provoked the Lord to wrath. Verses 8 through 10. The Lord told Moses that the people had made a molten calf for themselves as a god. Verses 11 and 12. It was at this point that the Lord said in verses 13 and 14, I have seen this people, and indeed they are a stubborn and rebellious people. Let me alone, that I may destroy them and blot out their name from under heaven, and I will make of you a nation mightier and greater than they. Now, what would you have said here if you were Moses? I think I would have said, go ahead, Lord, zap them. I don't mind if you make me a great nation instead of them. But Moses was a great leader and prayed for the people. When Moses came down from the mountain with the law, he saw the people dancing around the golden calf. So he took the two tablets of stone and threw them down and smashed them before the people. Verses 15 through 17. You know, this reminds me of the time that I smashed two large baked clay tablets in a Sunday school object lesson. I think we were sweeping up clay fragments and dust from the church floor for hours. That's hyperbole. Everybody got that? So we clearly see that God's promise of victory and possession of the land was not as some kind of reward for Israel. No way. The Lord brought Israel into the land because of the wickedness of the Canaanites. Doctrinal point number two. The Lord brought Israel into the land because of the intercession of Moses. The Lord brought Israel into the land because of the intercession of Moses. Verses 18 through 29. And I fell down before the Lord, as at the first, 40 days and 40 nights. I neither ate bread nor drank water, because of all your sin which you committed in doing wickedly in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. And the Lord was very angry with Aaron and would have destroyed him. So I prayed for Aaron also at the same time. Then I took your sin, the calf which you had made, and burned it with fire and crushed it and ground it very small until it was as fine as dust. And I threw its dust into the brook that descended from the mountain. You have been rebellious against the Lord from the day that I knew you. Therefore I prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord God, do not destroy your people and your inheritance, whom you have redeemed through your greatness, whom you have brought out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Remember your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Do not look on the stubbornness of this people or on their wickedness or their sin, lest the land from which you brought us should say, because the Lord was not able to bring them to the land which he promised them, and because he hated them, he has brought them out to kill them in the wilderness. Yet they are your people and your inheritance, whom you brought out by your mighty power and by your outstretched arm. The 40 days and 40 nights of verses 18 and 25 are the second set of 40 days and 40 nights that Moses spent with the Lord on Mount Sinai. Remember, the first 40 days and 40 nights is referred to in verse 9, before Moses came down from the mountain and smashed the tablets of the law. This second 40 days and 40 nights, referred to in verses 18 and 25, is after the sorrowful golden calf event. We see in these verses that in both sets of 40 days and 40 nights, Moses practiced a total fast, that is, neither food nor water. That could only be done with the miraculous help of the Lord. We see in verse 21 that Moses destroyed the golden calf and ground it to dust and threw the dust into the brook. We learn in Exodus chapter 32 that Moses made the people drink the water, and about 3,000 people were executed for their idolatry. We see here in verse 20 that even Aaron was about to be destroyed. Only by the mercy of God, in response to the intercession of Moses, were Aaron and the nation spared there at Mount Sinai, as well as at other times of rebellion throughout the 40 years wilderness wanderings, as we see in verses 22 and 23. Verse 24 sums up the overall history of Israel from Egypt to the plains of Moab. So again, the Lord was not bringing Israel into the land as a reward for righteousness. No, it was to remove the wicked Canaanites, and it was in answer to Moses' many prayers of intercession. Moses spent the entire second 40 days and 40 nights praying for the Lord to spare the people. Verses 25 and 26. Notice the threefold basis for Moses' prayer of intercession in verses 26 through 29. Number one, he reminds the Lord that he would be destroying his own inheritance, the very people that he redeemed out of Egypt by his great power. Verses 26 and 29. Number two, he prayed on the basis of God's promises to the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Verse 27. And number three, he reminded the Lord that the Egyptians would conclude that God didn't have enough power to finish the job of bringing the people into the promised land, or that he had only brought them out of Egypt because he hated them and wanted to destroy them. Verse 28. God listened to the prayers of Moses. The Lord brought Israel into the land because of the intercession of Moses. And now for practical application from Deuteronomy chapter 9. Watch out for religious pride. Watch out for religious pride. Non-religious pride is where success and prosperity is selfishly claimed and God is not even acknowledged. Religious pride is more subtle. Here God is not only acknowledged, but assumed to be blessing you because of your righteous works or because you deserve to be blessed. That's the kind of pride Israel exhibited which angered God. God hates religious pride. Even Christians can exhibit religious pride and think that God owes them a blessing, or that any blessing they receive, they deserve, and is God's stamp of approval on their life and lifestyle. Nothing could be further from the truth. Watch out for religious pride.